This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of the life handed down to you from your forefathers, but the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, we come to worship for a number of reasons. Hopefully not the least of which is that we long to hear a word from you. So Lord, through your written word, by the spoken word, may the word come alive in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned before, today begins a four-part series on the church. These are pieces about who we are called to be as a church, what it is we are called to do as a church. And today we find that the church is grounded in God's word. I love the word, word. Word is such a simple thing, you would think. We speak them all the time to one another. We speak them on the phone. But we not only speak them, but these days more and more we type them out, sometimes with our fingers, most of the time by our thumbs. Maybe some kids in the church today who are even doing that as I speak today. We text, we email, we now are able to Skype, we're able to FaceTime, right? We can see each other as we're speaking words to one another. We also take the time to read words on a page. Some of you today, before you came into worship, were reading your bulletin to see what was coming up the rest of this week. You might have read the newspaper earlier today. Reading is one of my favorite things to do. And I read a lot of different kinds of things. One of the questions that the youth group asked me on Friday night was, "What book are you reading right now?" I told them I'm reading two of them right now. One of them is The Brothers Karamazov, which is written by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Okay? It was originally written in Russian and then translated into English. Now, I'm reading it in English because I can't read Russian. But isn't it interesting how that translation happens? And there are some things I can tell just by reading in the English that don't translate very well from Russian. So whoever was doing the translating needed to make some decisions about how he or she was going to render in English what Dostoevsky had written in Russian. The same kinds of decisions are made by those who translate the Bible. from its original language to the language that we read it in today. And the market for Bibles is unbelievable. If you go into a Barnes & Noble or a bookstore sometime, just go to the Bible section and look at all of the different kinds of Bibles that there are. Not only are there different English translations of the Bible, we read from the New International Version today, but there's also the New Revised Standard Version and the New Living Translation and the Message and the New American Standard Bible and the King James Version and the New King James Version, and the list goes on and on. But then not only that, but you can also buy the Graduate Bible and the Student Bible and the New York Giants fans Bible, which has a larger section about lamentation after last Sunday's game. All of these different Bibles out there. You know, the Bible is still the number one best-selling book. If the New York Times were to put the Bible on its list, chances are year after year, week after week, the Bible would hit number one. It seems like people are buying more and more Bibles all the time. Which makes me wonder, if people are buying all of these Bibles, then why doesn't our world seem to be getting any better? Why is it that all of these Bibles are being purchased, and yet on the news, I still see images of violence, of shootings and war, chemical warfare, and, you know, innocent people getting caught in the crossfire of a police shootout, and, you know, all of these things taking place, and it makes me wonder why aren't things any better? I have a sneaking suspicion today that a lot of these Bibles that are being purchased are not being read. I think that there have probably been enough Bibles purchased in the U.S. alone for all 300 million of us to have at least one or two of them in our homes. And yet I wonder how many of those Bibles are sitting there with dust on them or locked away in a cabinet somewhere. Reading God's Word is one of the fundamental practices that we can do as a church. It's one of the funny things about the word word is that it comes in so many different ways. One of those ways is in a written word that's written down. And oftentimes we talk about the Bible as the Word of God, right? You've heard of that before, right? That this is God's Word. Okay. And so when we read this together, we read something like 1 Peter, we believe that somehow, in some way that is different from all of the other books that we've read, somehow in this book, God is speaking to us. That somehow, as these words were transmitted through the centuries and then written down on a page, and we get them and read them, that somehow God is speaking to us. We've become a pretty literary society, believe it or not. I mean, everything you read, all of the studies show that more and more we're a visual entertainment society, right? More people are watching TV or going to the movies than reading books. And yet still, I think we tend to be a literary society. We get a lot of our information by reading. And yet I think if we apply those principles of reading to our reading of God's Word, somehow we miss out on something. We tend to read too quickly, especially those of us whose jobs involve doing a lot of reading, as mine does and perhaps yours do as well. we start to figure out how to read passages and things very quickly. And so, you know, as you're reading a novel or something, you can get through, you know, several pages a minute. You've seen all of these books or TV infomercials about how to speed read and comprehend everything that you're reading. And sometimes I think, to our own harm, I think, we apply God's word in that very same way. We read it as fast as we can, hoping that the more of it we read, the better off we'll be. And so there are reading plans for God's word, some of them that will get you through the whole thing, beginning to end, from January to December, the one-year Bible. Believe it or not, I came across one the other day that was read the Bible in 90 days, 3 months. Every day, you would read a Bible like this one, 12 pages of this. And it was something like six chapters a day or something like that. And through those six or seven chapters a day, you could read through the entire Bible in 90 days. I just wonder, though, reading so much of it at once, if we somehow miss out on something together. And this brings me to the second usage of word. It can be written. It can also be spoken, right? And so we gather together on Sunday mornings believing that even though the pastor's words are broken because he's a Mets fan or a Cowboys fan and he doesn't know any better, that somehow we still receive God's word somehow through the sermon on Sunday mornings. Karl Barth, a mid-1900s German theologian, wrote that not only is God's word written, but it's also spoken. And so God's word gets spoken to us through the ministry of the word that you find in church on a Sunday morning. Broken as they might be, somehow the Spirit of God still speaks to our hearts when we hear a sermon on Sunday mornings. And it doesn't matter who is preaching it. When that word enters through our ears and into our minds, somehow the Spirit of God does something different with it than if we had just simply taken it in through our eyes. That's why we don't simply pause for 5 minutes while everyone reads the scripture to themselves and then move on with the service. No, Cheryl got up today and read very well for us. And while we were able to read along, if you imagine that we were in the early church and this letter from Peter was being read to the gathered congregation, they wouldn't have had this letter in front of them. Their only way of taking in this word would have been by listening to it. And there's something to that, I think. There's something that happens when we hear something read or something told. As children, before we are able to read, we listen to stories. Even the twins, 10 months old next week, we read to them. And whether they actually comprehend what is being read to them, who knows? But we still take the time to read to them. And as they get older, we hope that they will in turn read to one another. Somehow, hearing words has a different effect on us than simply reading them. And so one of the practices that we as a church can get into is listening to God's word rather than simply reading it. We who are Christians and who know something about the written word of God through the spoken word of God, know that there is a third usage of the word word in God's word. The beginning of the Gospel of John, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing is made that has been made." and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This living Word is the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who the church is really and truly grounded upon. It's this third type of word which Karl Barth, the theologian, wrote about, which completely changes the way that we approach God's Word. Because no longer does this become simply some kind of a rule book or a guidebook. We can't diminish it to that. When I was thinking about, you know, football jerseys and baseball jerseys and different things, I was thinking about a playbook, right? And if any of you are planning on watching the Giants-Broncos game later today, I think about Peyton Manning and the way that he runs the offense, okay? And he has an offensive coordinator who feeds plays into his earpiece in his helmet, okay? But then he looks out at the field and changes the play at the line of scrimmage. He does it all the time. You see him out there waving his hands, screaming at people, making an audible, okay? Changing the play at the line of scrimmage. If we treat this like a playbook, it's too easy for us to change the play when adversity looks us in the face. When Peter is writing to this church that he's writing to, he's recognizing that these are people who didn't know Jesus before. They lived their lives according to their own standards, according to their own playbooks. But then Peter says, somehow you came into contact with Christ, and it changed your lives. Once you've had that contact with Jesus, your life is never the same again. So as you go forth to live your life, live it according to this word. Not according to your own old ways. No audibles at the line of scrimmage. This is the word which never, never fails. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. This is the word that our lives are rooted in as a church. This is the word that we read during the week, that we come to hear proclaimed on Sunday mornings. The word that is alive in heaven and breathes the Spirit of God into us each and every day. We as the church are grounded in God's word. And this is the way that we find out how we are to live our lives. So if you do not make a practice of reading God's word, I would invite you to do that. I'm going to take a chance here, and I hope the consistory won't look down on me too much, but if you don't have a Bible at home, I invite you to take the one that's right in front of you out of the pew and take it home with you. Read it. And come back next week and hear it. And allow the Spirit of God to speak through it, to mold your life, to change it in ways that you don't think are even possible today. God yearns to speak to you through this word. My prayer for us is that we would read and listen and live this word. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your word, the gift which brings meaning to our lives, gives us direction, and molds us and shapes us into the image and likeness of your Son, the living Word, Jesus Christ. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear your glory through the reading and preaching of this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.